God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, God, not mine, be done. God, help us to set aside everything we think we know about ourselves, about the step being studied, about the big book. But most especially, we ask you, God, that we set aside everything we think we know about you so that we can have a new experience, that we remain teachable and grateful for what we have. Amen. And I am going to change the format, thanks to Susan and her suggestion, that I'm going to say our ending prayer before I ask for questions. And I think that that was a wonderful suggestion, Susan. Thank you. And it will make the tapes go smoother, because the questions are not on the tapes. So at the end of listening, you will get the ending prayer. So that was just a great. So we're learning as we're going. And thank you, Susan. I really like that suggestion, because prayer is the most important part of the Big Book Step Study process. We're learning to have a relationship with God, an intimate and personal relationship with God. And prayer is the biggest part of having a relationship with God. You know, doing these steps, writing your fourth step, and then ending up with doing your amends, that is all very, very, very important. But it pales in comparison to what the main purpose of doing the steps as they're laid out in the Big Book, and that is having a spiritual experience with the God of your understanding. And that is ending up with a personal and intimate relationship with God. And that is, you know, seeking God through prayer and meditation, having had a spiritual awakening. So I really appreciate that. And again, I want to reiterate that you're going to have a spiritual experience with God if you spend time with God every single day. So the requirement to be a part of this group is to do your quiet time every single day. Now, are you to beat yourself up if you miss a day? No. But if you're missing 2 days and 3 days and a week and a month, then you're really not doing what this Big Book Step Study workshop requires of you, and maybe you should reevaluate whether you're really ready to do this workshop or not. Now, I'm not kicking you out of the group, but you really need to evaluate, are you really ready to do this work? Because what I'm telling you is the work here is spiritual. You are getting ready to be rocketed into a fourth dimension, and the dimension is to be in a spiritual realm. It's not to be in this world. It's not having one foot in this world and one foot in the spiritual realm. It is to live in the spiritual realm. You work for God. Your purpose here on earth is to be useful to God and to your fellows. And that's what it means to have a spiritual experience. Okay. So where we left off was on page 10 of Bill's story. And we are on page 10, paragraph 2. That wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I had pondered these things. I was not an atheist. Okay, so your first word to look up is atheist. Okay, where's my pad of paper here? So look up atheist. It's a very important word, atheist. Okay, few people really are. So that means blind faith in a strange proposition that this universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even evolutionists, suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. So Bill is saying that he is not an atheist. An atheist believes in nothing, absolutely nothing. Doesn't believe that there's any rhyme or reason to the world. Everything just happens by chance. So he said, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. So he did believe that something mighty and something that had purpose and rhythm underlay everything. He says, how could there be so much of precise and immutable law and no intelligence? So he had deep questions. I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe. So underlying spirit of the universe, that is one way of defining a higher power. Spirit of the universe. See, it's a capital S, capital U. So you may want to put in the margin, definition of higher power. It's not my definition of a higher power, but it was one of Bill's definitions of a higher power. So is it one of your definitions of a higher power? Okay, when we get to step two, you are one of your, actually step two, the whole step is for you to define what your higher power is. So that will be coming up. But anyway, so I want you to have this in your toolbox. Is this one of the ways that you are going to define your higher power? Who knew neither time nor limitation? Okay, so another way to define a higher power is spirit of the universe, who knew neither time nor limitation. So that's a definition. But that was as far as I had gone. Okay, so that's all Bill ever defined his higher power, is spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation. Okay, with ministers and the world's religions, I parted right there. Okay, so what he's saying is I didn't want anything to do with ministers in world religions. So he was prejudiced because he didn't say that he investigated it. He just wanted no part of it. When they talked of a God personal to me, who was love, superhuman, strength, and direction, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. So again, he didn't want to have a personal, intimate relationship. What did Bill want to have a personal and intimate relationship with? Well, we can go back and we can say he wanted to have a personal and intimate relationship with himself, because he had a big ego, we know that, with power, with success, with money, and with alcohol. But he says here, he did not want to have a personal relationship with God. Okay. So how do you feel about having a personal relationship with God? So that's your first question. How do you feel about having a personal relationship with God? Okay. Turn to page 11 on Bill's story. To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him. His moral teaching, most excellent. For myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I discarded. Next paragraph. The wars which had been fought, the burnings and the chicanery, look up chicanery, that religious dispute had facilitated, made me sick. I honestly doubted whether, on balance, the religions of mankind had done any good. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man, a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. Okay, so this is all Bill's rambling of negativity. Put in the column, Bill looking at life as a half-empty glass. Okay, when I was active, looking at life as a half-empty glass, woe is me. Life stinks. Look at the world. It really, you know, it's really rotten. It was just another excuse to pick up. And this is what Bill was doing here. He's telling us, you know, for myself, I adopted those parts of moral teachings which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I discarded. So this book, The 12 Steps, we are going to have to live just the opposite of what Bill just said here. Moral teaching. That's what the 12 steps are, is a moral code of living. Okay, so this is going to be your second question. The 12 steps to the 12 steps are a moral code of living. Period. You might as well know the score before you waste any more time. The 12 steps are a moral code for our living. For our living, not of living. For our living. Okay. The 12 steps are a moral code for living. To experience a spiritual recovery. To experience a spiritual recovery, one must live this way of life in all their affairs. Okay, and my English is not good. Believe me, I was not an English major. I was a life science major. But anyway, you get the gist. The 12 steps are a moral code for living. To experience a spiritual recovery, one must live this way of life in all their affairs. And not adopt, and then I'm just going to take out of the big book what Bill wrote, and not adopt those parts which seem convenient. And too difficult. Okay. I think you get the gist. Okay. Now, this is the question. Am I willing to do the work to achieve this spiritual experience and live it daily to keep it? So before you go on to do any more work, I want you to do some soul searching. And I guess tonight's two questions, and this week, you're really going to do the soul searching. So question one, how do you feel about having a personal relationship with God? And two, the 12 steps our moral code for living. To experience a spiritual recovery, one must live this way of life and all their affairs, and not adopt those paths which seem convenient and too difficult. Now, this is the soul-searching part. Am I willing to do the work first to achieve this spiritual experience, and second, to live this way of life daily to keep it? So I want you to search your soul, because if you're not, you need to reevaluate whether you want to come. Because I'm having people come to the Monday and the Tuesday, because we're doing amends now. We've been together 16 months now, maybe 17, I don't know, 16 or 17. And you know the amends that people are balking at? It's funny. It's the financial amends. We have to go to any length. And you might as well be willing. Don't put in all the time and energy if you're not willing. This way of life is a spiritual way of life. Yeah, but don't work in the big book. Yeah, but. Yeah, but you don't understand. They screwed me, so I screwed them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Alcoholism does not matter what other people did to you. You've got the ism. So you have to live the spiritual way of life. We have to rise above what other people do or don't do. We've got to live the very straight and narrow road in order to live sober, clean lives. We need God to stay clean and sober. They may not need God the way we need God. We got to live a spiritual life. We have to have a personal and intimate, I shouldn't say we. I need a personal and intimate relationship with God in order to stay sober and abstinent and lovingly detached. And you know what? I didn't say my mantra tonight. But I'm Stephanie, and I am a recovered alcoholic, an abstinent food addict, and a lovingly detached Al-Anon. And I can say that because I've worked my butt off today. I've done about four meetings today. I've done service all day long today. And I mean that in humility. I've done service like there's no tomorrow. I've talked and talked and talked and talked and talked to people. Probably about 8 to 10 phone calls today. to people, given it away. I've written, I've read, I worked my butt off. I've prayed, I've meditated. I have to do those things. I have to live a spiritual life, or I will go back to drinking and eating and trying to run in people's lives. This way of life is not for sissies, let me tell you. If you want an easy, soft way, the big book step study process is not it. It is not it. But the joy I have in my heart tonight, going to bed knowing that I'm clean and I'm sober, and I'm trudging that road of happy destiny. And I want you to look up the word trudging, because it's one of the most beautiful words, trudging. Because it's got a, you know, people, when they say trudging, they think it's a negative word, but it's beautiful. It means walking with a purpose, but I still want you to look it up. I love that word. I'm trudging this road in this lifetime here on earth because I've got a purpose, a seven-step prayer, and your homework tonight. Your third thing is to find, and I'm not even going to tell you the page. You got to find it. But I want you to find the seven-step prayer in your big book. And in your writing, for your quiet time, I want you to write out the seven-step prayer. Yep. You're only on step one, but I want you to write it out. Because it will help you. It will help you decide whether you are willing to do the work. Seven-step prayer is really, really, really awesome. I love the seven-step prayer. I think it's one of my favorite prayers. Because it tells us, well, it really encapsulates just about everything in there. So that's your third assignment. Find the seven-step prayer. Write on it at least once this week in your quiet time. Okay. All right. So Bill is talking about life as a half-empty glass. Very negative. I have very, very low tolerance for people who are talking negativity. I can tolerate it for about 5 minutes, and then it's like the next thing out of my mouth is, what are you going to do about it? You know, staying in life as a half-empty glass, it's futile. It's futile. It's an exercise in futility. You're just swimming around, drowning. You know, what are you going to do about it? You know, that's why we have seven tools, seven awesome, constructive tools that can get you out of the negativity. When you are, woe is me, oh, I can't believe it, or, you know, give yourself 5 minutes. Set the timer for 5 minutes. Piss and moan and complain for 5 minutes. And then at the end of 5 minutes, go do all seven tools if you have to. Read, write, make a phone call, go to a meeting, do service. Read, write, make a phone call, do service, meeting. Call your sponsor and put principles above personalities. There's your seven tools. Do them all. Then do it all over again until you get out of the negativity. But those seven tools, they work. If you are working those seven tools, you can't be in negativity. You can't, because you can't think two thoughts at the same time. So when you're thinking that life is a half empty glass, work one of those tools. I guarantee you. if you keep working those seven tools, you'll get out of the negativity, that life is a half-empty glass. Okay. So we're on page 11, paragraph 4. Had this power... Oh, no, sorry. Page 11, paragraph 3. But my friend sat before me. Okay, now who's he talking about? He's talking about Ebby. But my friend sat before me. And he, Ebby, made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him, Ebby, what he, Ebby, could not do for himself. Ebby was now sober. He hadn't drawn a sober breath in many, many, many years. Ebby was going to be committed to an insane asylum for the rest of his life, and he was rescued by a couple of people from the Oxford group. And he was taught the tenets of the Oxford group, which was a religious group. And he said to Bill, God had done for him what he could not do for himself. Now, we hear that all the time in the halls of 12-step recovery. Okay, his, Ebby's, human will, okay, so circle will. Willpower alone will not stop you from doing your addiction. If it could, you wouldn't be on this line today. If you could stop eating, drinking, gambling, sexing, cluttering, debting, overworking, underworking, whatever, if you could, you would, but you can't. Your willpower. You are powerless. Your willpower is powerless. And that's what it says. His human willpower had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. So there's your fourth word. Atheist, chicanery, fudging, and the fourth word is incurable. That's what I am. I'm an incurable alcoholic. I'm an incurable food addict. An incurable compulsive overeater. I'm an incurable codependent. Incurable. Incurable means by humans, I cannot be cured. But there's a miracle. But by a miracle, I am well. I am recovered. I'm not sick anymore. I'm not cured. I'm still, if I put alcohol in my body, I will become drunk and I will have that obsession of the mind and I will have the compulsion of the body. I will always have an alcoholic chemistry. But I do not have an alcoholic brain today. I am recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Now, my body is healed because there's no alcohol in it. My mind is recovered because God has relieved me from the obsession of thinking about alcohol, thinking about food. But my chemistry is not cured. That's why I read labels. That's why I ask at restaurants. Now, I've talked about this for months with you, and I will continue. I am scrupulously honest. I am rigid. There is no cracks in my program when it comes to food and alcohol. I do not put any of those substances in my body whatsoever. And for me, I weigh and measure my food everywhere I go, no matter where I am. If I went to the White House, I would weigh and measure my food. I weigh and measure my food. And I don't take any chances with what I drink. In fact, I bring my own beverages. I bring Polar Spring seltzer water. And I bring my own coffee substitute when I go places. And I never, if I do get seltzer water, which is very seldom at a restaurant, I carry my glass around with me. I'm scrupulous because I do not want to put any of that substance in my body. So, but I've had a miracle because I admitted I am powerless. And God has the power. And God gave me a miracle. And I no longer have the obsession to drink, the obsession to overeat or to eat the foods I'm allergic to. And I don't have the obsession to control people. So he was incurable, but how come he's sitting across the table, sober? He got a miracle. And Bill is seeing this miracle. He is seeing it. And Ebby is saying, I didn't do it, Bill. I did not do this, Bill. And then now Bill, and he's saying, God did this. And now Bill is starting to question his own belief system. And that's what I'm doing with you as your sponsor. I'm saying to you, this is what happened to me. I got a miracle. Do you want a miracle? Do you want to be happy, joyous, and free? Do you want to be able to say, I've had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps? And that I want to practice these principles in all my affairs. I will be able to practice these principles in all my affairs. That I will no longer in any way, shape, or form be dishonest. I will not lie. I will not cheat in any way. I will give back any money that I have taken that I don't, that I will make amends to every human being. Are you willing to do that like I did? Are you willing to believe me that I did not do that on my own? She wouldn't see me, but I wrote a letter of amends to a wife of a man that I had an affair with and told her I was truly and deeply sorry. And that I wanted to see her face to face so I could look her eyeball to eyeball and tell her how deeply sorry I was, that I had no right to do that. I didn't want to do that. It took me years. But I did it. Are you willing to do it? I only did that because God gave me the strength to do that. I'm sitting across the table from you and telling you that God had done for me what I could not do for myself. I couldn't will myself to do that. But this is what this is all about, is that God gives me power, not just to put the booze down, not just to put the food down, but to live a life that I can be proud of. I was a slime ball. Let me tell you, I was a slime ball. I was ashamed of my life, ashamed of the things I did. I light up one street and down the other so you would know the things that I did. And today I am an open book. And that's only because God has given me the power to be able to, I've made amends to the, for the things I've done. And now I can tell people what I've done because it will help other people to get right with their life. I'm not out there telling people that I stole from petty cash and that I had an affair with a married man for any other reason except that it will help other people to get right in their life so they can look themselves in the eye and they can get right. But I didn't do it on my own willpower, believe me. I did it because God helped me. And that's what Ebby did for Bill Wilson. And then Bill Wilson did it to other people. And then the people Bill Wilson helped other people. And it trickled down. And my sponsor, her name is Marilyn. And Marilyn did it for me. And now I'm doing it for you. And then you'll do it for other people. And then the people you help will help other people. And that's how we're going to change this world, one person at a time. Okay. Society was about to lock Ebby up. Like myself, Bill, Ebby had admitted complete defeat. Then Ebby had, in effect, been raised from the dead. Like me. I was a dead woman walking. I was dead inside because I hated myself so much for the things that I had done. So I had to eat and drink myself into oblivion because of the self-hate that I had. Suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best Ebby had ever known. And I tell you from the bottom of my heart, that's where I am today. And it's only going to get better and better and better. But I was taken from the scrap heap to a level better than I have ever known. And every day gets better. Today was terrific. Really, I did service almost all day today, and it's only going to get better and better and better because I'm willing. I stepped up. I didn't have to do the service I did today. In fact, a couple of times people said, oh, you don't have to do that, but I wanted to do it. It made me feel so good. I wanted to do it. And that's how my life gets better and better, because I get rocketed into the fourth dimension. And nobody can take that away from me. And nobody can take it away from you either. So my question from you tonight is, are you willing? How willing are you? How much do you want it? All I can tell you is, I want it more than anything in the world. I'm willing to show up every Thursday night. I'm willing to look you in the eye. Are you willing to look me in the eye? Are you willing to do the work? Do you want a relationship with God more than anything in the world? Okay. Next paragraph. Bill asks himself, had this power to stay sober originated in Ebby? He's asking himself now. He can't figure it out. Obviously, it had not. There had been no power in Ebby than there was in me at that moment. And this was none at all. So Bill can't figure it out. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Wow. Bill is really getting humble here. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Underline that. Underline that. Let me tell you. We're going to end there because I'm going to pick up, underline it and star it. We're going to start there next week. You're going to kill me. This is your fourth assignment. I want you to meditate on this all week. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. I want you to meditate about miracles. Are you a miracle? I think you are. I think every single one of you are a miracle for being on this phone bridge tonight. In all humility, I tell you, I'm a miracle. I'm a walk and talking miracle. I should be dead. Or I should be in jail anyway. Or in a mental institution. That's what they told me when I first came in AA. If you're not sober, you should be either in jail, in a mental institution, or dead. And it's 31 years later, and I'm not in either of them. I'm sober. And I'm helping other alcoholics and anybody else, because this is all addiction. You tell me that's not a miracle. And all of you are walking, talking miracles too. Let's pray. Dear God, God of good orderly direction, God of group of drunks, God of gift of desperation, God of spirit of the universe, God of creative intelligence, God of abundant miracles. We thank you so much for this phone bridge technology. We thank you for all the people who do so much service to make this happen. We thank you for all our fellowships. We're in all addictions groups, so there's many, many, many fellowships. Think of all the service, God, that goes into all of our fellowships. Thank you for all the prayers that keep all of us sober and clean and abstinent. Thank you for all the answered prayers. Thank you for all the men and women who come with the desire to get to know you, to have a spiritual experience. And thank you for Bill Wilson and Abby. Thank you for the Oxford group, for the first 100 alcoholics who helped Bill write this book. And thank you for all the people who passed on the AA message to all the people who started all of our fellowships. How can we show our gratitude, God, for your love and to all these people who have shown their love and gratitude by passing it on? My hat is full tonight. It's so full. Thank you seems so empty, but you know it's so full with love and gratitude. Help us all to have the courage to do the work. To walk arm in arm with you this week. Recovery is not easy. And yet we all know that going back out there is a million times harder. So keep us all safe this week, working the seven tools and the 12 steps, and keep us real close to community, because this is a really tough time, God. The holidays is a special time, but also a very emotional time. So help us to stay real close to our fellowships and to you. Amen.